In the last week, we began the reading of the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. This morning, we will finish the story by reading verses 8 through 21. We left off last week with Jesus just being born. So let's read what happens next as I read Luke 2, verses 8 to 21. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is God's inspired word. This is his story. I ask the question, what gives us joy? I have a definition of joy that I have personally written on our refrigerator at home as a continual reminder. I'd like to share that with you this morning. Joy could never be acquired by the pursuit of physical pleasure. Joy is a spiritual experience that only God can create in the human heart. It is a product of his work of blessing in our lives. And I'd only add to that, this morning Karen and I have a little extra sense of God's blessing and joy. And as I reflect upon our daughter giving birth on this Christmas, we remember when she was about to be born, and we named her Angela Joy. And so her middle name is Joy. So as we reflect upon the topic of joy, and so that may that kind of joy be experienced as we reflect upon the message now that Raymond is going to share with us in the joy of Christmas.
I hope you've made your Christmas list. You've given it to Santa. All you male and female Santas, grandpas and grandmas, moms and dads, you've made your list of those things that you think may bring you joy. They do in a way, don't they? You know, you don't make a list or request unless you think it's going to make you happy. It's going to bring some kind of joy in your life. And yet, most of us know that they only do that for a short time. You know that on Christmas morning or Christmas night when you open your gifts, that the child opens a gift only to run to the next one. And then, of course, they kind of prioritize, and you see one or two lying in the corner. You know, you think of Toy Story or something, and these little toys are going, "What about me?" You know, no joy for the toys. As we get older, we know that those things don't bring us joy. In fact, as we get older, you get asked the question, where's your list? And as you get older, you go, either the list is short or there's none at all. It's like, I really don't want anything or need anything. And then you start thinking closer, well, maybe I could use this, only to go out and buy it yourself so you could use it. Joy is the greatest gift. It's a result of something that has been given to you that keeps on giving. No toy can do that. Can you wrap joy? Well, they wrapped joy in swaddling clothes. They wrapped this little baby and put him in a manger, and yet no one walked away with him. No one got to take the little baby and raise him up or feed him or do whatever. In fact, you're going to find a lot of going away in our Christmas story. And yet they shouted and raised their hands. As they were brought near to the Lord through the word, through a message, the message brought joy. They didn't even walk away with the baby. It was the message that brought joy. Moses drew near to God. He went up on the mount only to come down with the Ten Commandments. And what a wonderful series that Joe Mason took us through. And I don't know about you, but the people who were there that on Wednesday nights, you saw Moses when he was talking to the people about not being afraid, about drawing near to God, about doing his will. He was filled with joy. You remember that when he went up on the mountain for 40 days, how many times? Twice. He didn't need anything else. He didn't take any food, any water. He didn't take anything because he had God. He didn't need anything or anybody else. And then you remember again, he said, Lord, I want to see you. See, that was the joy. Was God himself. I have an echo, Austin. He wanted to see his glory, and so the Lord said, I can bring you near to me. I can bring you near to me. I can't let you see my face because you'll die, but I'm going to turn my back to you. And he showed him his glory. And Moses, you can just assume, was filled with his joy. And so in Zechariah 1:3 and Malachi 3:7, it's the Lord says, return to me, declares the Lord of hosts, that I may return to you. God wants you to draw near because he knows that he is the only thing, the only eternal thing that will bring you everlasting joy. And that is drawn to us in just a huge way into the New Testament. James 4:8 says, the Lord says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Think about that. You could have or want anything in eternity, but God is offering himself freely. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you, and you can rest assured that you will walk away shouting, hopefully outside, but internally, because you are full of joy. You know, we've been talking about Augustus, the first emperor, who brought this relative peace to Rome, the Pax Romana. I have a question for you. To whom did this peace come? The 30 to 40% of slaves and the other ones who had to fight the battles and the other people who got exorbitant taxes on them to keep his kingdom going? If he brought some kind of peace, there was never joy. There was never joy, at least for a period of time, or everlasting for sure. But there is a king. Remember the man who stood before Pilate? And he says, Pilate, you know, says, are you a king? It is as you say, Jesus said. And in other words, yes, I am. In Mark 1, it says, the Lord said to his people, and he continues to say to us through his word, when you have Jesus, you are near the kingdom. When he came to the earth, the king was there, and so the kingdom was near. And this king offers eternal joy from the high throne of heaven. In John 14:27, the king says, before he was about to leave, he said to his disciples, and again to you and me, because this is the eternal word to his people, the disciples are the forerunners of you. He says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as Augustus would give, but the peace that I give, a persistent, ongoing result. It's a Greek. Bob and Gary and some others may know this. It's a present active indicative. It's been said. It's a fact. It's present and ongoing fact. My peace I give unto you. And then, if that wasn't enough, the next chapter, John 15:11, he says, I have spoken these things to you that my joy might remain, the word is used. Isn't that beautiful? He says, I spoke these things. He didn't give him a present. He didn't hand him something. He didn't take him somewhere, do something with them. He said, I'm speaking this so that my joy may remain in you. We also know that because while the disciples were with him and got to do things, he left them. And he gave us his Holy Spirit. And by his Holy Spirit, the word is opened to us. And when the word is opened to us, it's a joy that remains if you accept it. Now, what happens is we go away from it. We get busy. We go outside our doors and we're whatever. But let me say, folks, when the Lord said, draw near to me and I will draw near to you, when you come near to him, the joy, it doesn't return. You realize it's still there because it's an eternal joy that remains with his eternal word. You know, the worldly thrones take, God gives. The worldly thrones enslave, God frees. The worldly throne sent Quirinius to register and enslave, God sent angels. Quirinius or angels? And by the way, verse 9 says that the glory of the Lord, he had to be close. The glory of the Lord shone around them. He was near them. He was close. He was with them. Every year we see on top of trees and around the trees the little angels. And you see them on your cookies and your cakes and your lawns. And a lot of them have trumpets. And they're announcing. When we see them, we say, there's an announcement. Those are messengers from God. But, you know, sometimes we should look at ourselves and go, there's a messenger from God. Do you know that Revelation, I think it's, I'm trying to remember, 22. Revelation 22 says, John bowed and the Lord said, the angel said, get up, fellow servant. So we're fellow servants. And Charles Spurgeon says that we should love these angels, not worship them, not worship them, but we should love them as fellow servants. And so in Job 38, the Lord spoke to Job and he says, who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang. That's another word for angels. Remember, Lucifer, before he fell, was a fiery cherub. And you, wherever you see these cherubs, they're fiery. And they're called morning stars in Job. And then it says, how do we know that? It says, and all together the angels shouted for joy. Now think about this. At creation, the angels sang and shouted for joy. Now, why would they do that? Remember now, joy is something that exudes out of you. You can't help it. You can't help it. It just, boom. No, so why would this boom come to the angels? Because they had seen a third of their friends fall. They had seen darkness. They had seen somebody try to lead them astray. And I would assume that in some way they were in some kind of sorrow for that. And now, you know, Lord, okay, you know, maybe you're not all we thought you were, our God and creator. I'm not saying they said that, but something was different. Something had to be different when you lose a third of the angels and the most beautiful cherub. And so then God says, let me show you creation. Boom! And can you imagine the angels just, wow! Wow! They had something to sing about. They've never experienced creation like that, except maybe by themselves that we know of. And it exuded from them, and they shouted, and then man fell. Then Adam gave up their servanthood, and then angels had to carry a sword, and they had to block the way to Eden. And Michael had to stand up as a warrior to protect some people from this darkness. And so they're back in this idea of, wow, now what? Now see, God did something before, now what? Maybe they're excited. Maybe they're going to see something, and they did. Because again, they learned of God's plan of salvation, creation, and then recreation. God's salvation. Why do we know that they were excited about this plan? 1 Peter 1, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that they have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels, look. They long to look into these things. You see, this is new to them. What's new? Salvation. The Spirit of Christ in them. Think about that. They hadn't seen that before. The Spirit of Christ in somebody. And the glories that would follow the Messiah coming. And the preaching of the gospel. And so the angels are thrilled about this story. Now, in Job chapter 1, if I can go back there for a minute, these morning stars, they come and present themselves to God. Now, what do you think they're presenting to God? Presents? Do they come to bring him something? Or are they coming to receive something? Are they coming to get their daily orders? I mean, I don't think they have to stand up and go, look out, you see, I brushed my teeth today. It's not like the military, you know, where have you checked my box and my laundry and my bed's, you know, ready to go. No, they hadn't fallen. They were in their perfected state, but they're presenting themselves before God. Why? Well, I think we get a clue because the devil shows up and God gives him a job. Do you know that God gave the devil a job? He still has a job. And so I think that these angels show up for their daily jobs. It's time for a daily job. It's time for a work. And likewise, months before Christmas, Gabriel gets his job. I got a message for you. Go talk to Mary. Go talk to Zechariah. Give them a good message. And then when you get back, start warming up your choir, Gabriel. Start warming up the choir. Because in about 9 months, you got a song to sing. You have a work to do. And so they show up again. And now here, in our verses, is this job, this duty. And in the same region, there was shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. That may be Gabriel, we're not sure. He's usually the messenger. But he's not going to be the only one that shows up. He's going to show up with a choir. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, so he was near them. And they were filled with great fear. That is, the shepherds were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you a toy. I got a car for you. I've got another 1,000 sheep for you. I got a house. I got a field." No, I got good news. I've got good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. You got a present of joy wrapped in swaddling clothes. You don't get to take him home. Oh, he'll be in your hearts by the word and by faith. But you won't have something tangible to go away with. But you will be for eternity joyous. Now, I don't know what you want for Christmas. I don't know what you want. Coming next year. I don't know what you want when you die. I could guess. But what do you want now? Listen, I can use a new skill saw. I can use a new truck. I can use this, and I can use that. But I want joy. Because anything that we want will bring us joy, and there's only one thing that we will get that will bring us eternal joy. And that is the message, the good news of Jesus Christ our Lord. They didn't sing the peasant. I mean, now can you imagine these angels? Gabriel shows up and he says, "Lord, you know, I think Augustus needs this story. You know, couldn't you send us to Rome? Can't you send us to some big cathedral? You know where preachers want to preach? They want to preach to big, large numbers, and they want to make sure that the numbers are good and their job is secure and on and on. I'm not going to do it unless I can preach to, you know, whatever." We're talking about God's perfect message here from their perfect messengers. And they're saying, "You're going to send us to these peasants?" Do you remember? I don't know if you knew about shepherds, but they were the lowlifes of their time. They were smelly all the time. You didn't want them to come into your inn. That's why they stayed out in the field. They slept with their sheep. They carried their sheep. They bathed them. They did whatever. They cleaned up after him. It reminds me of that story, remember, in 1 Samuel 17, where David is a shepherd. And his dad says, "Go make haste. Go make haste. And go to your brothers and take some bread and some grain for them." And he gets there. Do you remember what his brothers do? Who's taking care of those few sheep? You know, who's doing your little small penny ante job? And so the angels could have said, Lord, anybody but the sheep and the shepherds, please. Please send me to the Crick's house or to Don Veld houses or the Masons. They've got like a half a dozen or eight people I could talk to. I know that Dan's got all kinds of kids. Line them up. Let's do some real preaching. By the way, I don't want to walk out of there smelling like a sheep. No. Because unlike their fallen leader, Satan, who found pride in him, they went. And it says they went. And Spurgeon says they went in haste. How free these angels were from pride. They were not ashamed to come and tell the news to humble shepherds. They stretched their willing wings. And gladly sped from their bright seats above to tell the shepherds on the plain by night the marvelous story of an incarnate God. And how mark well they told the story, and surely you will love these angels. Not with the stammering tongue of him who tells a tale in which he hath no interest, nor even with the feigned interest of a man that would move the passions of others when he feeleth no emotion himself, but will love with joy and gladness such as only angels can know. They sang the story out, for they could not stop from telling it. They sang glory to God on the highest and peace on earth, goodwill towards men. I'm assured they sang it with gladness in their eyes, with their hearts burning with love, and with a breast as full as of joy as if the good news to man had been good news to their own selves. Uncontainable joy. Because why? Because of their message to others? How unselfish can you be? Hey, I have a message for you. I don't know what kind of joy you're going to get or what kind of gift you're going to receive, but I am going to be full of joy. They would say, love these angels, not worship them, but as fellow servants, preachers from heaven. They weren't jealous. They weren't envious. They didn't want to go to Rome. They didn't want to go to the populations. They wanted to go to the religious. They wanted to go to the poor and the needy. Spurgeon again says, I'm convinced they had as much joy in pouring out their songs that night before shepherds who were watching their flocks as they would have had if they had been commanded by their masters to sing their hymn in the halls of Caesar. And he quotes a song, angels from the realms of glory, wing your downward flight to earth. Ye who sing creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, worship Christ, the newborn King. Now, it's important to notice when the angels rejoiced. Read verse 11 and 12. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. That's the message. So the angels give their message. And now read, because remember, 13 follows 12. Look at 13. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. They sang out with joy and praise after they gave the message. When did the men rejoice? First of all, verse 8. They were with those smelly sheep in the plains by night. It was night. Remember last week we talked that Israel was in darkness, the world was in darkness, the world now is still in darkness. And these shepherds are there at night. Look at verse 9. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. So now it's night, and they're filled with great fear. And then, verse 11, then for unto you this day, they get the message of Christ the Savior. So it's at night, they're afraid, and then they get this message. And then verse 16, and they went with haste, by the way. They went and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when you're in darkness and when you're fearful, and then you hear about good news, we don't sit and twiddle our thumbs. We don't say, you know, I'll ponder that, I'll take that into consideration. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, you understood him, you ran spiritually, as it were, in haste to say, Lord, I need you. I need you. And they went in haste. So they got the message and then received the message. And then verse 17. And when they saw it, they made known. Now, so, you know, when you get that thing that offers you joy, and tonight when you open your gifts, or tomorrow morning when you get your gifts, it's a good thing. It is a very, very good thing. You open up that thing that you wanted, that you appreciate, that you will use, and you show everybody. We take pictures at our house. We send it to the West Coast and send it to the South. Look what the kids got. Because it made them happy. It exudes. When you get an eternal message that is eternal joyous, it flows. You tell. It just happens. And this is what's happening to both the angels and the men. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. You see the process. Fear and darkness. Somebody shows up. They hear a message. They see it. And then they run away with joy and praising God. Now listen, they didn't get a Christmas bonus. They didn't get a Christmas hat. They didn't get gloves or a coat. They got a message. And they went away with joy, telling others of joy. Look at verse 13 and 14 again. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among them with whom he is pleased. That's the angels. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned singing the same song. They're singing the same song. They weren't before. They were feeding their sheep before. They were afraid before. But they went away praising God. Now, this is a message. This is a gift that just simply keeps giving. The message, Jesus, remember, said, I have spoken these things to you that my joy might remain in you. Romans 10 says, the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will descend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word, the message, is in you. It's near you, and actually, if you have the Holy Spirit, it's in you. And again, it results in joy. Now, what's going to happen is we're going to get busy through Christmas, and busy through 2018, because remember, we present ourselves as to God as a living sacrifice, Romans 12:1, and he has duties for us, and so we have duties, whether it's for our families or our friends or our work or whatever it is. But when you take this message with you, and in fact, when you find yourself in darkness and you find yourself in despair and pain, the Bible is saying to us, draw near. The word is near you. Now, I want to suggest something that it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. That, and according to this as well, Romans chapter 10. When we pray sometimes, we feel like our prayers are hitting some kind of ceiling. Sometimes we feel like we can't come to the Lord and ask or seek help or even look for joy. Have you ever heard that that God is not concerned about your happiness? If you have, that's a lie. He's concerned about his glory. He's concerned about your salvation. But he's also concerned about your happiness. And to prove it, if you keep his word by drawing near to him, when he says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you, when you draw near to him in the coming year, you're going to find out that he means what he says. You're going to find out that when you go into your closet and you're packing a whole lot of bags, that when you walk out of there, your bags are going to be a lot lighter. You may still have those issues that you have to work through, even some consequences of our actions, but you're going to find out this is temporary, and you're going to be able to walk out of that closet with joy. You see, joy is based on God himself, and that's why he says, draw near to me. Spurgeon again says, the only glad tidings that made the angels sing are those that put God first, God last, God midst, and God without end in the salvation of his creatures, and put the crown wholly and alone upon the head of him that saves without a helper. Glory to God in the highest, he writes, is the angel's song. And it's the same song as the message and the message with the shepherds. And it's the same song and the message of you and me. When we are here, we sense God is way distant from us and heaven is some other place. Open your eyes in faith, like Elijah. When he said, Lord, open the eyes of the servants so that he could look around and see the servants of God on the mountains. You see, the distance between you and that other realm is a whisper. It's a dimension. It's not a distance. It's, Lord, I need you. It is a word. And the message that comes by faith allows us to peek behind the veil. The Lord says, I bring you, through the angel, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the peoples, for unto you is born this day the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. It's in the message, it's in the word, by faith, as we hear by the Holy Spirit, and as we close our eyes and just say, Lord, can I peek? Can I simply just peek behind the veil? I want to hear your word. I want to hear that thing that will bring me joy. Lord, I worship you and praise you, Lord. We all do. We all, Lord God, seeing what happened this last year, we all want a touch of your joy. We want to hear your word. We want to be filled with your spirit. We want to have the faith that gives us boldness and courage to shout your name, to worship you in the fields or in the closet, no matter who hears us. Help us to shout your name as the angels did and the shepherds did, and so many do in faith, because that veil is a dimension, it's not a space. You are near because we have you by our word and your message and in our hearts by faith. We praise you for it. I pray particularly for our congregation and the people sitting here and those who are a part of us, that you will bring them joy, not just tonight, not just tomorrow morning, but the next year as we continue to see your coming. In Jesus' holy name, amen.